What do I got to do? Do I got to record my own intro? What does it take? Don't they have a guy here that does that? Did you fire everybody? Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, lurking conservatives. I feel like I missed one. Did I trickle off there? It's Mark Maron. I'm in for Sam Cedar. I almost started crying on the break. I'm very emotional lately. I just started crying because I'm sitting here talking on the radio. Got my buddies Brendan and PW in the booth there. Justin, who's a new friend, and Heather, who doesn't like me at all. And I is that true? No, she likes me. Okay, good.
Yeah, she likes you a lot, even though her name's not Heather.
What is it?
That's Lauren.
Lauren, I'm sorry. Why did I call you Heather?
She liked you until you forgot her name.
Lauren, I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm bad with names. But thanks a lot, Pat Pashman. I appreciate. Oh, now I know your name. Lauren is taking calls. So if you call, say hello to Lauren. Folks, we were talking last hour about you being the Time Person of the Year. And I was talking a little bit about, I had a call from a guy named Seth. And I think what he was talking about is true, is that there is a way of existing in this world now that may not be cut out for hypersensitive, narcissistic, outspoken Jews like myself. And I don't need to throw the word Jew on there either, but there's something about me that makes people a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. And there's a way that people seem to integrate, younger people who just seem to integrate into the internet world, into the world at large with a certain type of ironic detachment and a smugness that it's an adaptive process. I don't know what it is. Maybe I don't have it. But let's take one more call on that in terms of the internet revolution. JJ in Westchester, New York. What are you thinking about what I'm saying?
Hey, yeah, you know, the internet, it's been kind of disappointing over the last 7-8 years because the initial promise,
the whole thing,
the whole internet,
the whole thing just disappoints you.
No, not the whole thing, no. But in terms of the way the economics run,
yeah.
In other words, YouTube has made a lot of money,
right,
off everybody contributing little videos.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the people that make the videos don't have a way of getting paid for that. And, you know, if there's somebody that has a good blog or a popular email list or something, there's still no real practical micropayment system to recognize that.
That's absolutely true. That you're absolutely right. They did this with basic cable a few years ago. If you're in the racket that I'm in, literally. And the thing about it, JJ, is that people are willing to do it for the recognition, for the possibility of payment in the future. But who knows how short-lived that is, and who knows what they're really going to be able to contribute, and who knows how long they're going to hang in there.
Well,
go ahead.
The thing about like something like PayPal, where the minimum payment is let's say a dollar, or I don't even know what it is, and they take such a high percentage. If you were able to just collect a nickel for something that somebody could download, you know, you have the potential for so many more people contributing, and these nickels adding up, and people being able to make a living, and literally transforming the whole playing field over the way information is distributed.
And by utilizing the capitalistic model, which, you know, seems to be what we're stuck in a fair way, I don't know where the hell that money's going to come from, because usually people that are contributing stuff are being exploited. But I agree with you. What it requires is some sort of unionization or something like ASCAP, where you that they did in the music business, where per play you get a certain amount of money. I appreciate you. What?
Or if PayPal was able to you know, allow something like a nickel charge and only take a penny, you know, if they were able to do that, it would overnight transform the entire internet, I believe.
Well, thank you very much for your call. I tend to agree with him, because I'm a guy that I like getting paid, even if it's for $15, out of respect. Out of respect, you know, we come out, we come do this, we come take the talent that you have honed for however long it's taken you to get there, and contribute it to what we're doing here. Just and you'll get exposure. That's how they get you. No, you'll get you exposure. And maybe that's true. Maybe I can find a few more people to come like me in a live situation. But I think what has to be done, there has to be some unionization. There has to be some way of providing, of paying people for services. But they don't care about people who have wisdom, authenticity, not necessarily integrity, but that have an experience. They're more happy when green people get involved in this, when people who don't know the business, who don't care that they're being used. People like me make them mad. It's the same thing, I guess, when anyone gets older and they feel that they're being obsoleted, or whatever the word might be. Okay, let me just take, I told Jared, I guess we'll close up on that topic for now. But if you have, if you, well, Okay. Well, we'll do more on it because it seems to be I can't tell you how much it has made a difference in electoral politics and information in general. I have no argument with that. It's just the misuse of what is happening and how it is going to eventually exploit people, and how if people are truly talented, I guess if they survive being exploited and they continue to grow as creative people, then maybe they'll be rewarded. But as I've always said, if you're a talented person and you are not successful, there's probably something inside of you stopping you from being successful. And sadly, it might be your talent. I would like to talk to Jared in Chicago, my old buddy. What's up, Jared? Don't be negative.
Well, it's funny you were mentioning that because I was going to talk about Barack Obama and his wanting to change the political discourse from positive to from negative to positive. But I feel like I'm interrupting your flow here as far as the whole YouTube thing.
Is that a kid I hear in the back?
Yeah, she's three months old.
Is that your kid?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just checking with everybody.
Say it again.
I'm checking with everybody that the baby I hear is their own.
Yeah, that's what I'm very trustworthy of my wife. I'm not concerned about that.
I wasn't even going there. I was assuming you were a kidnapper, but now you've opened up a whole nother can of worms.
No,
yeah.
No.
So you had a kid. Congratulations. You sound like a new man. You know, when I first started talking to you on the air, you were a miserable, self-loathing, hopeless person.
I think you're projecting because they used to make fun of you for those of the very same qualities, and I think it sort of rankled you. But I always did it in good fun. I haven't had any really good zingers lately.
You seem to forget the fact that I actually hung out with you in Chicago when
You did. And you were extraordinarily hospitable, and it was a lot of fun hanging out and talking. You're a great guy, Mark.
Thank you very much.
Sorry that we don't live in the same town.
So tell me about what you think. We can talk about Obama. Because I'm going to talk about Senator Tim Johnson soon, who I don't care. He can stay in the Senate for as long as he wants.
Someone's going to have to decide
how long that is.
They had that brain dead guy from South Carolina. What's his name? I forget the guy. Dixiecrat ran for president. I'm drawing a complete blank here. He was in a wheelchair hitting on 16-year-olds. You know, if that guy can serve, I don't see why Tim Johnson can't.
Oh, Strom Thurmond. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Well, yeah, we'll get into that in a minute.
All
but
right.
Tell me about Obama, because I mean, you've had the opportunity. You live in Chicago.
Yes.
You've had this guy around for a while, because I watch him. I find him very engaging. I find him riveting. I wanted to go see him in Boston, and I couldn't get in, but it turned out he didn't show up anyways. There is something at the edge of the Obama personality that I don't know about, that I find that I innately distrust people who are running for political office in any way. But I like him, and
yes.
I think he is something we haven't seen before, and not in my lifetime, and I want to know what you think.
All right. I like the guy a lot, and what I'm about to say as far as a criticism of him is not necessarily a fault of, like, he's a bad guy, but rather, you know, he has this idea that that, you know, Americans are sick of negative politics and yada yada, and they want a more positive person, and I'm really glad that he's trying to bring that. But here's the problem. I want to cite a very specific example. We had Tammy Duckworth running for the House in Illinois, taking over Henry Youthful Indiscretion Hyde's seat, okay? And the Republican committee started running ads against her. And they were saying, Tammy Duckworth is in favor of amnesty for all illegals, blah, blah, blah. Just totally in favor of Ted Kennedy's plan.
Yeah.
Now, I want to caution and remind everybody, Ted Kennedy's plan was John McCain's plan.
Right.
Okay? Now, the best response that the Duckworth campaign could do is it got Barack Obama to advertise.
Now, Duckworth, she was an Iraq War veteran that was in a wheelchair. Right.
She lost her legs. I mean, you cannot find, you know, and not that just because you've had body parts severed that makes you qualified, but this is someone who's clearly, you know, knows what's going on, you know, as far as the Iraq War. And there were other things, you know, the opponent was accusing her of wanting to pull out, which she never said, but that's besides the point. The point is this. It got Barack Obama to do an advertisement for her, and said, you know, the opponent, I think it was Roskam, is saying, you know, and the Republican National Committee is being dishonest. And, you know, to say that someone is being dishonest is just not going to cut it. And I'm glad that he wants to raise the level of political discourse and wants to make people more positive. But the problem is that when it comes time for him to run for president, they're going to come after him with daggers like you will not believe. And if he's just going to say,
okay,
people need to raise the level of discourse. Listen, I'm really glad. It's not like, it's not like I don't like a perfect example of somebody like Bono from U2 who wants to, trust people on the other side and give them the opportunity. It's
all
not
right.
Like I don't aspire or wish that wasn't the case.
Right.
But the problem is it is.
All right. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I understand your excitement about it, but I believe that some of what he is saying is absolutely true. I do think that people, when you keep reading in the newspaper how many millions of dollars go into making you change your mind about a candidate or convince you that a candidate is the candidate you want, just by virtue of knowing how much money it takes to change people's minds, eventually you would think that people who are being bought like that will wake up, get a little self-respect, and realize they're going to have to look a little deeper in themselves about the choices they're making. And I think that on some level, Barack has the gravitas. From where he gets it, I don't know. Because there are people that have been in politics a lot longer that don't have the feeling of gravitas that guy does, the candor he is able to capture when he takes a mic. I think that if he, in his heart, is as grounded as he seems to be, that what he's saying might be enough. I think that he is maybe taking a gamble, is what you're saying, is that you want to see the guy have a little more edge, because when the opponents come, he's going to have to kick ass. And what he's saying is, I may not want to lower myself to that level because I think people believe in human integrity and in the integrity of this process. And by being a reasonable person, I will elevate the discourse. That's the gamble he's going to take. I'm not sure that he needs to go down the path you're saying, Jared. I understand your excitement, but I think that he's probably going to stay on this course and it might work. So, that said, we will come back and talk about Tim Johnson in just a second, and about when should somebody not be in the Senate anymore? 866-303-2270 is a number. Stay with us. Rich, Two Bagels in South Plains, New Jersey. Stay on the phone. I'll talk to you in a second.
Hey, conservatives. Want to get some lies off your chest?
Our record on the economy is strong.
I don't think anybody anticipated the breach of the levies.
We value the Constitution.
Call Sam Cedar at 866-303-2270. Sam Cedar, only on Air America Radio.